Welcome to the Oakland Church Podcast. You're about to hear another inspirational message from Senior Pastor Randy Bain. It's our prayer that this message encourages you and strengthens you. For more information and for other resources, visit us at oaklandonline.org.
I have on your notes, right at the top of the notes, the four passages from the Gospels where the feeding of the 5,000 is found. And so I'm actually not going to read that scripture to you. My sermon is really based off of Mark 6 passage, but I just want to tell you the story. And I'm going to back up to not just tell you the feeding of the 5,000 story, but I want to back up to the background leading up to that. You see, Jesus had his own home group. They were called the 12 disciples, and they became his spiritual family, right? I mean, they ate together, they hung out together, they traveled together, they camped together, they ministered together. I mean, Jesus taught, and the disciples listened to him preach. They got to watch him perform miracles, and then they even get to act and participate in those miracles. Well, Jesus, when he was ministering and they were hanging out together, he did a strange thing, at least for them. He decided to send them out on their own ministry, their own mission. And so he divided the disciples up into twos and sent them out to all the cities where he was going to go. And then he gave them authority to teach, to heal the sick, to cast out demons. And the disciples went off, and that left Jesus alone. And while Jesus was there, while the disciples were away, he gets word that John the Baptist had died. Now, who was John the Baptist? Well, we know John the Baptist was Jesus' cousin. We also know that he is the one who was supposed to be the Elijah who would precede the coming of the Messiah. And he's the one that indicated that Jesus was the Lamb of God. He baptized Jesus and then pointed him out as the Lamb of God who would take away the sins of the world. Some of John the Baptist's followers became the first followers of Jesus. And so he heard that John had died. And so Jesus withdrew to a secluded place. Maybe he needed to grieve. Maybe he just needed to pray and rest. Maybe he was thinking about his own future, what was going to happen to Jesus shortly. But, John the Baptist, he was arrested by King Herod because he was preaching against Herod. Herod had taken his brother Philip's wife as his. You know, that's kind of a no-no. And so as king, I mean, he was telling him that this was wrong. You shouldn't do that. And so King Herod had thrown a big dinner party for all of his important dignitaries around. And he had Herodias was his mistress, or Philip's wife, and her daughter came out and danced for them. And he was so impressed by the dance, maybe he was a little bit drunk, who knows. But he said, I'll give you anything you want, half of my kingdom. What do you want? You just name it. And so Herodias said, ask for the head of John the Baptist on a platter. And of course, he didn't know how to get out of that because he made this big promise in front of everyone. So he executed John the Baptist. And John's friends came and his disciples took his body and buried him, and they came and told Jesus. And of course, Jesus, as I said, went to a secluded area to pray, to grieve, to be away. And while he was there by himself, the disciples came. And the disciples began to tell him everything that happened. Can you imagine how excited they were? They were preaching the gospel. They were casting out demons. They were healing the sick. And they were filling Jesus in on everything. And Jesus says, we need to get away. We need to come aside and rest. And so it said they went to the other side of the Sea of Galilee. Now, the Sea of Galilee is just a giant lake, about 7 miles across or so. And as they got in a little boat to go across the lake, now when it says the other side, it didn't mean that they went to the Gentile side. I mean, some of the passages we know Jesus went to the other side, which it meant they went to the land of the Gadarenes, and where there were no Jews. But this time on the other side meant he went to the northeast side of the lake. They were probably on the southwest side, and they went to the northeast side, which would have been Bethsaida. And when they get there with their boat, here the crowd had seen them leave, and they knew where they were headed. So the crowds got in their boats and went, and some ran around the lake. And when they get there, there is a huge crowd waiting for them. So much for going to a secluded place. And so Jesus saw them, and his heart broke for them because they were helpless and lost, and they were like sheep without a shepherd. And it says Jesus had compassion on them, and he began to teach them. He began to heal their sick and minister to them. Even though he was grieving, even though the disciples were exhausted, they needed a break. They needed to recharge. But yet Jesus cared about them, that he took care of them. And of course, then the disciples, they take an assessment of the situation, and they determine that there are too many people, it's getting late in the day, and they come to Jesus and say, we need to send them away so that they can go into the villages and buy food for themselves. This is a desolate place, and we need to send them off. And of course, Jesus says, he actually tells us in John's gospel, that he says to Philip, where would we get enough food to feed these people? And Philip says, it would take 8 months' wages to buy enough food for this crowd. And Jesus said, go and see what we have. And of course, they must have checked it out. And Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, comes back with a little boy who's got his lunch with him. Five little loaves and 2 fish. And I imagine they're like little biscuits or little rolls. And then they have 2 probably little smoked fish that you would carry in a lunch. And so the 5 loaves and 2 fish, and so Jesus takes those 5 loaves and 2 fish, lifts them up to heaven and blesses them, and has the disciples organize everyone in groups of hundreds and fifties. And then he gives the bread to them, and then the two fishes to them, and they began to distribute it, and everyone had enough to eat till they were full. God multiplied the fish and the loaves. And then after that, they gathered up the baskets, and every one of the disciples had a basket full. There were 12 baskets full of leftovers. 12 baskets. What a glorious miracle. If you look at the scripture, the memory verse that I picked was Mark 6:37. Can we read that together? He's answered them, you give them something to eat. Mark 6:37a. Let's say that again. But he answered them, you give them something to eat. Thank you, John. What can we learn from this? What can we learn from this event, this miracle that Jesus did? Number one, we learn that disciples become apostles. Okay, disciples become apostles. Notice it says in Mark 6:7, and he summoned the 12 and began to send them out in pairs and gave them authority over unclean spirits. The difference between a disciple and an apostle, a disciple is a learner, a follower, okay? But an apostle is someone who is sent, if you read that passage, is sent with authority. So he's actually representing Jesus. He has been sent. Now, apostles are still learning, right? Because we're not Jesus. We're still learning, but we are sent with authority. Sent with authority. Now, in home groups, we learn. I mean, we've heard that the last couple weeks. We learn. We learn about other people. We learn about each other's story, what it means to be a Christian. We learn from the scriptures. We get different understandings of the sermon, of the scripture. We get to apply that to ourselves. Hopefully we get inspired that we're in the word more by our brothers and sisters in the home group. But we also become leaders. We also become leaders. If our home group networks are going to grow, and I believe they need to grow for our church, they need to grow for our community, then they're going to have to multiply. And they're going to have to multiply. And if we're going to multiply, that means we need more leaders. And so every home group really needs to identify 1 or 2 assistants or apprentices who are going to be getting prepared to eventually lead another home group, to multiply the home group into another one. And that hopefully disciples then in the home group would also become apostles, would become leaders. Now this morning we received members, new members. Now you don't have to become a member of this church. You can come here every Sunday. You can join a home group. You can participate. You can receive all the blessings and all the ministry that this church has to offer without being a member, just by coming. Okay, it's all free. You're not, by giving tithes and offerings, you're not buying services. You are giving unto the Lord, but the services are free. Everything we offer here is free. But members are something different. A member is expected to serve. It's a different perspective. As an attender, you know, you can receive all the ministry, but as a member, you're expected to serve. You are the ones who are going to be counted on. Okay, I mean, these are the ones that are going to be counted on. And so hopefully there is some level where it's a difference between being a disciple to becoming an apostle, being given grace to serve and grace to lead. Mike Slaughter, he's not one of my favorite pastors. I hope he doesn't hear this sermon. He won't, I'm sure. But he would enjoy that comment, because he says that he has the gift of annoyance. Okay, I mean, he basically can annoy you. I mean, he can be very in your face and annoying. He's the pastor of Gingenberg Church. He founding pastor of Gingenberg in near Dayton, Ohio. And if anybody like has a problem or like a personal complaint about something or some preference that they don't like in the church, well, when they come to him, like, I don't like the music, or I don't like the way we're treating these, this new ministry, or I don't like that. And if it's not necessary, a sinful thing, he will say to them, are you baptized? And of course the person will, yes, I'm baptized. Like, are you a member of the church? They'll say, yes, I'm a member of the church. Well, then he says, well, what are you complaining about? You're dead. It says you are buried with Christ in baptism. And as a new member, as a member in the church, it's no longer about me, it's about others. I want you to hear that. As a member of the church, it is about me, but it's about how can we minister to others. And so he would literally say that. He says, you're dead, what are you complaining about? Members, it's not about me anymore. It's about others. It's about how God can use me in this church. And sure, we're still learners, amen? We don't have it all together yet. Hopefully this church, and that's one of my biggest prayers, is that this church will not let you down. You new members, I pray that we will continue to be a blessing to you. We will continue to pour out into your life. We are not perfect, but we'll do our very best. But on the other hand, my prayer is that we won't stay the same, because new members have new stuff to offer. There's more ministry. There's different ministry. And that's what it's all about. Members, it's not about me anymore. It's about others. It's about becoming apostles. Secondly, there's a difference between human solution and God's plan. Verses 36 and 37, the disciples had the human solution. Send them away that they may go in the surrounding countryside and villages and buy themselves something to eat. Jesus answered them with his solution. You give them something to eat. Now, the disciples were acting like apostles, weren't they? I mean, they were in charge. They looked at the situation. Okay, this is a desert place. There's no food here. It's too many people. We're tired. Okay, Jesus, we've come to a plan. The plan is send them away so they can get their own food. I like that. Moses said, if he who doesn't work doesn't eat, so send them away. Tell them to go get their own, right? That's a plan. That wasn't God's plan. That wasn't Jesus' plan. The disciples had a plan, but they were relying solely on human resources, not divine. Because the project was bigger than they could do in themselves. I'm telling you, if it's worthwhile, it's going to be bigger than you can do. What God has called us to is bigger than what we can do. Amen? We need God's resources. They had just been through the school of faith. They've been just through a school of apostleship. What was the school? Well, he sent them out two by two. And what did he tell them? When he sent them out, he said, don't pack heavy. Don't take an extra coat. Don't take extra food. Don't take extra money. Just go. God will provide. And God did provide for them. God took care of them. What they should have said to Jesus was, well, what's the plan? We need a miracle here. What's the plan, Jesus? What do you want us to do? And Jesus would have said what? You feed them. Now it tells us, as I said, that he said to Philip, well, what do you have? And Philip said, it would take 8 months' wages to feed these people. He says, we'll go and see. And they found this little boy with 5 loaves and 2 fish. That's all we have. I kind of find that hard to believe. That's all they could find, but that's all they had. God always provides. God always provides. I'm a little hesitant to share finances from a sermon from the pulpit, but let me just give you a little illustration from this Oakland church. In the 2019, and that was BC, right? Before COVID. Okay, BC, 2019, our finances, our giving dropped 10%. The attendance was the same. I don't know what you people were thinking, honestly, but the giving dropped 10%. We went from getting almost $11,000 or over $10,000 a week to $9,000 a week. We said, well, that's still a lot of money. Yeah, you take that over 52 weeks, that's 50 grand. That's over $50,000 in a deficit. So fortunately, I mean, I wasn't worried. Yeah, no worries here, right? I was thinking, well, how are we going to minister? How are we going to pay our bills? Are we going to be able to keep everyone employed? What are we going to do? That's really my main concern, was we're going to have to lay people off. And so we managed. The Lord provided, and we got through with $50,000 less the next year. So come the end of 2019, we're going to set the budget for the next year. Well, what do you think we did? We set the budget up, the giving of 2019. So we lowered the budget 10%. I mean, we tightened our belts, we pulled back anywhere we could pull back, and we tried to manage so we could get by at that budget level. Then 2020 happens and COVID hits. We shut the church down. I didn't know COVID was coming, did you? I didn't know that we were gonna have to pay a huge fee to disaffiliate. Because actually the plan was, the protocol was going to pass. That was a plan where we would peacefully separate, and the conservatives would get $39 million, the liberals would get the rest of the money, and we would all part company with happy smiles. Well, that didn't happen. COVID hit, and they canceled the general conference, and it never got voted on. And so guess what happened in 2020? Our giving went up 20%. I don't know what you guys are thinking. Our giving went up 20%. Really? With a budget lowered 10%, our giving goes up 20%. And so we had a little bit extra money that we saved, and we kind of did expand the ministries back to kind of a more normal level, or maybe even hopefully bigger. But God was providing. He knew what was coming, right? God already had it taken care of. God already had a plan. It says when he asked Philip, what are we going to do? It says he already knew what he was going to do. God already knows what he's going to do. I don't know what you're facing, what struggle you're facing, what deficit you're facing, whether it's financial, whether it's physical, whether it's relational, whatever. God already knows what he's going to do. You can trust him. He has a plan. What's that? Jeremiah 29 says, I know the plans I have for you. I already have a plan. He has a plan for you. You can trust him. You can trust him. Well, even this past week, just to give you a little update on that, so we had enough money now that we don't have to go outside to borrow money. We can borrow money from our building fund and then pay that back. And with those little envelopes we put out a couple weeks ago, for some people have been giving towards a disaffiliation amount, and so we gave you cards where you could pledge a little bit for 6 months, or you could give a cash donation if you wanted to. The past couple weeks, we got a statement from the conference trustees saying that our pension requirement, which is the big amount we have to pay, dropped $10,000 this past quarter. So that's a 6% saving on that. And then those pledge cards that we sent out and the offerings that you have given, we have added $10,000 to that fund. So we had a $20,000 swing the last 2 weeks. So talk about God is providing. God has been providing, and he will do that for you. Whatever the circumstance, whatever the situation, God is providing. One of my heroes in the faith, he's not known by many people, Reverend Jim Hosey. He was a Reimersburg, Pennsylvania boy, local boy. And I heard him preaching after he was already, wow. Been to Asbury College, he was in the 70 revival, he became a missionary, then he became a preacher. I got to hear him at a camp meeting. But he tells the story when he was, I think he was like a freshman in college, he heard about this ministry called Operation Mobilization. And OM, they would send college students and high school students to Europe to do missions, evangelism. And so he felt called to go, and he met with the OM people, and they said, well, here's how it works. You don't get to tell anyone that you want to go. You don't get to ask for help. You don't send a letter of support out. You just start praying about it. And if funds come in your account, then we believe God has called you to go with us. He goes, okay. So he began to pray. And eventually, after a couple months, he gets a call from the mission saying, okay, money's been coming in. People have been sending money in with your name on it. No one has been asking them. And we believe God is calling you to go with us. And so God raised his money. There's all kinds of faith stories along the way. But basically, they get to Paris, and they decide that Jim and another guy should be in Italy doing ministry. And so guess what they did to this little local boy in Reimersburg, Pennsylvania? Hadn't ever been anywhere. They said, we want you to hitchhike to Italy. Hitchhike across France. And it's kind of like the disciples. Don't take extra food with you. Don't take money. Just go. God will provide. In their first meal, what it was, they got in a pickup truck with somebody, and he had some goat cheese, and that's what they ate for lunch on the way. And they get to Italy. They don't even know where they're going. They don't know where they're going. And they get to Italy, and they're on a mass transit, and they see somebody handing tracts out. So they said, well, let's follow those people. Guess what? They followed them back, tracked them back to their headquarters. That was the ministry they were supposed to be working with. God not only provided food, he provided direction, and he got them exactly where they needed to be. My friends, we can trust God. We can trust him. He will guide us every step of the way. He will never let you down. Never let you down. Hallelujah. 5 loaves and 2 fish, that's all he found. But God knew what he was going to do. The multitudes... God multiplies what we give to him. God multiplies what we give to him. Verses 41 and 42 says, he took the 5 loaves and 2 fish, looking up to heaven, he blessed the food, broke the loaves, and kept giving them to the disciples to set before them. And he divided the 2 fish among them, and they all ate and were satisfied. My friends, a small gift in God's hands is enormous. God's hands are big. Put a small gift in God's hands, suddenly that gift is enormous. Small gifts multiplied by God are blessed and multiplied. Small gifts in God's hands are huge. The question is, are you in God's hands? Are you taking care of yourself? Are you trying to figure it all out? Or are you in God's hands? Are you surrendered to him? In the membership class, we have this interesting little quote. We've redone some of the membership class and taken out some of the stuff that was from Saddleback Church and really didn't apply to us. But this one quote I left in, the next screen there. It's talking about service in the church. It says, every member is a minister. We believe in the priesthood of all believers. And if you're a member of this church, then you're a minister. So really, your membership vows are really kind of like a commissioning. You are now a minister in this church. And every task is important. Every task is important. And finally, every member is a 10 in some area. That's what I said. We need new members. We need new members that transform the church. Because there are areas that we're not reaching, we're not touching, we're not ministering. Why don't you all say this with me? Every member is a minister. Every task is important, and every member is a 10 in some area. It's a 10 in some area. Small gifts matter to God. Small gifts matter to God. You know, I shared those 4 scriptures in our staff meeting. That's kind of my Tuesday, if I'm preaching. My Tuesday is, let's read the scripture and help me with the sermon, folks. I mean, that's kind of what it is. And so we all read that, and I think it was Josh that said, well, I heard some preacher preaching this passage, and he said about the lad, he said the lad was too young to be counted in the count. But yet he's the one that had the 5 loaves and 2 fishes. How many were fed? What was the number? 5,000 men, not counting women and children. This lad didn't even count. He didn't make the count. You know, when you go to Kennywood, you got to be this tall to ride. He didn't make the count. But yet his gift counted for God. Amen? Doesn't matter how insignificant, how small, if you put it in the hands of God, suddenly it is sacred. It is holy. It is blessed. It is multiplied. It becomes enormous as it blesses others. 5 loaves and 2 fish were multiplied. Human resources surrendered to God suddenly become supernatural. What is God asking you to surrender? A gift, a need, time, a talent, money? I mean, I don't know where God is speaking to you, where you're wrestling with. I want to close with a short story about a guy named Rick. I've told this 2 or 3 times, and it's just it's really a part of my story because it's been so impactful for me. I think it was at Cherry Run Camp, and Jay Selden, a WGM World Gospel Mission missionary, was speaking, and he tells a story about Rick. It's a true story. Jay was preaching, and then after he got done with the evening, he went to his cabin, and he gets a knock at the door. It might have been a church in a hotel. I'm not sure if I have that all exactly right, but I heard it at a camp meeting. And this guy, Rick, comes to his door late at night, and he said, Reverend Selden, God spoke to me, and he wants me to give you this check for $115. And Jay goes, okay. And then Rick tells this story. You see, Rick was in his 30s, and he was in Bible college. God had called him as a young person in high school to be in full-time service, and he wanted to go to Bible college. But his dad died, and so he had to stay home, and he was the oldest of the family, so he had to stay home and raise the rest of the family. And so once he got his brothers and sisters all raised and out of high school, into college and out of college, now in his 30s, he was ready to start his ministry. It kind of sounds like Jesus done a little bit. Very similar. So he began, he got enrolled in Bible college, and to support himself through Bible college, he was working the summers for a construction company. The construction company was a company that actually was tearing down barns. I don't know if they were reusing the barns or what, but they were tearing down barns. And it was not a Christian construction company. If you guys have anybody have worked with construction, it was a rough group. And he was harassed and berated constantly for being a Christian. But anyway, he was working. That's how he was paying his way through that. And during that time, he wanted a CB radio. Some of you are old enough to remember the craze of CB radios, yeah. CB radio. For then, it cost about $115. And so he began to save his money, but he needed his money for Bible college, so he was sacrificing. He was not drinking soda. He wouldn't go out at night. He would cut back on snacks. He was actually trying to say he saved $115. And in that mission service where Jay Selden was speaking, God spoke to Rick and said, Rick, I want you to give that $115 to the missionary. Now, he got a little bit indignant with God. He's like, God, I have given everything I have for my family and for you. And I have scrimped and saved, and I've for one small treat for myself. And you want that too. You want my CB radio. He said he looked around in the service and he said, there are businessmen here that could give thousands of dollars. Why don't you speak to one of them instead of asking for my $115 that I have saved? God was relentless. He said, will you give me that $115? Well, he left the service angry and upset with God, and he did not give him the $115. Under conviction, the Lord kept asking, won't you trust me? Won't you give me that $115? So late at night, he took that check and took it to Jay Selden and said, here it is. When Jay heard that, he's like, I don't want that money. That's like holy money. And so Jay took it, and he just kept it. He held it for a month, because he figured there's going to be some special need that was going to come up, right? Some super need of this $115. It never came. After the end of a month, he just deposited it in his own account, figuring, okay, and that was it. He forgot about it. About 3 or 4 months later, he gets a letter from Rick. Rick said, I went back to school after the summer and went in to pay for my tuition. It had been paid in full. That contractor that hassled him and berated him so respected his witness and what he was about. He paid his tuition for the coming year in full. $115, a CB radio in the hands of God is worth a year's tuition at a Bible college. It's enough to feed the multitudes. My friends, my question to you is, what is God asking you to give? What is he asking you to trust him with? What will you place in the hands of God that he might bless? Maybe it's a need. Maybe it's a health issue. Maybe it's a family, a relationship, an unsaved loved one. Maybe it's finances. Maybe it's time. Maybe it's an attitude. What is God saying? Will you give that to me that I might bless it? Shall we pray? Lord, thank you. Thank you for being the God who loves us more than we love ourselves, who wants to bless us more than we can ever know and experience in our own strength. But Lord, in you, all things are possible. Lord, you already have a plan. You already know what you're going to do. I pray, Lord, that we would be a part of that plan. We surrender to you, Lord, the 5 loaves and 2 fishes that we have, the needs that we have, the hopes and dreams we have. And we trust you for all that is ahead. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this message from Oakland Church. For more information and for other resources, visit us at oaklandonline.org.